Hey, welcome to FQ,
where we talk about faith, family, and friends.
I'm Jacob.
And I'm George.
And welcome to this week's podcast. Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast. Georgie George is at home, I think. I don't know where he is today. But we did a podcast earlier this week that'll be dropping around the same time as this one. This week we have a very special guest who is wearing a cool Chosen sweatshirt that I really want. It is Sam I Am from TikTok. Hey Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. I know we talked before, but...
I know.
So
I'm happy to be here regardless.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on. I don't know your testimony, so I might have other questions and stuff like that. So I guess let's jump right in. So how'd you grow up? Did you have siblings? Did you have parents? Were they Christians? What'd that look like your childhood?
Yeah, so my mom was a believer, and my dad was not. And I was the oldest of three girls. I have two younger sisters. And so it was a very divided household. It was very, there was a lot of animosity between my parents. And there was also an abusive side to my father as well that I grew up seeing as the oldest one. Yeah. So my mom fought really hard to keep us in church, and she did a good job about that. But outside of church, there wasn't a lot of discipleship or teaching or showing us what living the faith was like, because she couldn't live it out for us in that environment very well, apart from being a great descendant wife.
Wow.
So we grew up in that environment. I remember at the age of three, I said the salvation prayer, and I got like a little baby Jesus to take home. I was like, yeah, this is great. Like, I'm a Christian. And that was like the extent of my knowledge for probably the next 15 years. And then I got to college, like most people do. I questioned and I walked away. And then I got into vet school, and my whole life from the age of four was based on getting into vet school. Like, that was my sole identity, my sole purpose. Like, I couldn't get into vet school, my life was over. So I like went through this depressive whole thing because I didn't get accepted. I had gotten rejected from every single school I applied to except for one, still hadn't given me an answer. And they gave me an answer 4 weeks before school started, and they said, you have 24 hours to tell us yes or no, and to move here.
Oh,
so
wow.
I, of course, told them yes, because I had waited my entire life. And I moved out to Iowa. My husband had his work and his school, so he stayed in Arizona, and I went to Iowa.
Oh, wow.
And we've been doing that now for 2 years. And, we make it work. But it was really hard at first because we were both Christian by name, and I had pretty much essentially walked away, but not really had told anybody I had walked away.
Yeah.
So I was just wearing that label, going to church whenever it was convenient. If it wasn't convenient, I found ways to not go, reasons not to go.
Yeah.
And that's where I was at that point in life, in vet school, entering in. A couple weeks into vet school, I got really, really sick. And I got really behind, and I just couldn't keep up. And it was like I had spent all this time and energy and, like, based my sole identity on getting into vet school, and I had to step away from it and take a medical leave. I couldn't stay. I couldn't keep up with my class. And I was so bitter. I was just angry. I was like, nothing else mattered. My marriage didn't matter. My family, nothing mattered but vet school.
Yeah.
So looking back at it now, like, God definitely knew what he was doing, but in that moment, I wanted nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
As most of us probably have that point.
Yep.
But now, I see why he did that. My sister's school, since she's younger, she was in high school. They were having a trip to Israel, and my mother wanted me to go. She had gotten divorced. We ended up growing up the rest of our lives in a single-parent household.
Yeah.
From after sixth grade, so I was homeschooled up to sixth grade, and I walked in on an abuse situation where she decided she needed to leave because somebody was going to die. pretty much. So she divorced, left, and she raised three of us as a single parent, the best she could, keeping us in church. Sorry.
You're good.
My dog. Kind of got to go lay down. And I had told her, no, I'm not going to Israel because I'm in vet school and, like, that priority. Well, I got sick and I had to leave vet school. So I had nothing else to do. I was like, fine, I'll go to Israel. I have nothing better to do. It doesn't sound fun. I love traveling, but, like, that was the last place I ever wanted to go because all I pictured was, you know, like the Israelites wandering the desert. That was my knowledge of Israel.
You're like,
I'm just going to go see desert.
Now I'm going to be one of them leaving the leaving to the promised land. Great.
Yeah. I was like, this isn't what I want to do. But I did it. We went. And it really made the Bible come to life. I still was kind of a little skeptical, but I was like, you know, this is a lot. It just brings it all to life more than anybody at church or any of my professors or anybody ever could do.
Yeah.
And it put a lot of questions to rest. And then we were in Magdala. I remember this is where I rededicated my life. And I said, you know, if I didn't mean it at age 3, I mean it now. And, like, this is serious. And I'm going to be responsible for my faith as an adult and really, truly live it and be in the generation that the younger generations can look up to that I never had to see what faith really looks like. And we were praying, and in his prayer, he said my favorite verse, which had been my favorite since I was probably, like, junior high, which was Psalm 51:12, which says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And in that prayer, he said it, and it just was like a dagger to my heart. And I pictured Jesus standing, like, outside of that temple 2,000 years ago, knowing I would be standing there 2,000 years later and needing to hear those words. And
that's awesome.
Did it. So.
That's so cool. And
it's
so
really amazing.
So when did you get married? Like, all of a sudden, like, high school married. That's like, whoa, that's crazy. Is he a Christian? Like, how's that look and all that?
Yeah. So we started dating in high school. We were friends for 6 months before, and we tried to date it for, like, a week, and then we're like, yeah, we're not ready to date. We're just going to not do that because that's not fun at this point. So we were friends for 6 months, and then we started dating again when we were a little more mature, kind of saw some of our friends and their mistakes.
Yeah.
And we dated ever since then through college. At the end of my freshman year of college, he proposed, and then we were going to wait until after I was done with college. And then, like, a week later, like, well, we already know we're going to get married, so let's just get married and, like, condense everything, be a single household, live like adults.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. We got married that summer. And so it's been 6 years now. As of this July, it will be 6 years we've been married. And we were Christian by name. Like, his version of Christianity from his family was like, you grew up in America and you eat apple pie, so you're a Christian.
Is he Southern or something? Like,
what was that?
I said, is he Southern or from the Bible Belt or something?
His family is from the Midwest. And so, like, we grew up in a small town, like, boots and jeans, campfires on the weekends. Four wheeling was what we did for fun in the mud.
Yeah.
So that was, like, how we grew up.
Oh, makes sense.
And my version of Christianity was, like, you go to church on Sundays and that's about it. So we were like, yeah, we're Christians. Like, let's get married. This is cool.
That's funny.
So, like, after that Israel trip, it made him kind of come awake a bit.
Yeah.
He still had a lot of growth to do, and I still had a lot of growth to do. So I really dove into it. Got into the word and just really started praying for him that God would let him see the need to be a man of God and be that leader. And about, I'd say, like, 6 to 8 months afterwards, he really started digging into his word as well and was like, yeah, this is real. This is important. And we need to be responsible for our faith, and when we do have kids, we're going to raise them so they do that example. So God's been really good in that sense. I'm like over the moon that he has done all this for us.
Yeah. I mean, how much more school do you have left?
2 years.
That's not bad. I mean, you're 2 years in already. How about him? How much school does he have left?
He has 1 year.
Oh, okay. So he'll finish a year. And then is he going to try to find a job up in Iowa?
We're not sure because we also bought a house in the meantime before vet school.
Oh.
We moved really fast in our life. Like, it's worked out so far.
Yeah.
Despite us being rash and really young and not really knowing what we were doing. But now we're kind of like, okay, we know better.
Yeah.
So we're making it work through what we've got and the decisions we have made.
Yeah. So there's plenty of time to think. And I mean, if you decide to move there, houses are selling better than they have. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, right now, you're in vet school. What are you doing? Are you, I know you do, like, a ministry on TikTok where you do Bible studies and stuff like that. How has that been? Were you always on TikTok, or what were you doing before,
I was one of the people who made fun of my little sister for having TikTok at first.
Yeah.
And then she would send me some videos, and I'd be like, oh, it's pretty fun. And the whole COVID thing happened.
Yeah.
It actually happened while we were in Israel, and we got kicked out of the country.
Oh, you got kicked out during COVID?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, we were going to Jerusalem was our last city. We were supposed to go to Petra, but Israel told us if we went to Jordan that they would not let us back over the border. And we were like, no, thank you. We would like to stay in Israel and go home.
Yeah.
So we stayed. We went to Jerusalem, and it was at the point they were checking passports. Anybody from Italy was going straight to the airport with, security assisting them to the airport because Italy shut down first.
Yeah.
And the Americans were still going in. So when we went to Jerusalem, it was a ghost town. We got first entry to everything in front of me. So it was really cool in that sense, but then we did have to leave 2 days early because the airport shut down.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So that's cool. But for TikTok, I think COVID is really what did it for most of us, including myself. So I got on there. I was more of a consumer and I made some videos, but I wasn't strong enough in my faith because like the whole Israel trip is really what spurred my faith.
Yeah.
So I was just watching and making more secular videos. And then about a year later, I started making Christian TikTok videos and finding like a Christian community. And I felt like I was at a point where I could lead a few Bible studies with some like deep study in that particular scripture.
Yeah. That's awesome. So are you going to church now and doing that kind of stuff, like more consistent?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have a great church here in Iowa and back home in Arizona. So I really like my church now because it's very involved. And in this whole thing of moving to Iowa, I had gone to another church with some classmates. And that's when I was really starting to dig in more of the Bible.
Yeah.
And the pastor had said a few things that didn't line up with what I had read. And if I had never been reading my Bible, I would have never caught those.
Yeah.
So I realized his teachings weren't lining up. So I was like, okay, now I have to actually church. And I have no idea what I'm doing because it's always been like my mom tells me where to go.
Yeah.
So I was really lucky. Like the first church I went to, solid biblical exegesis. The congregation was friendly. Like I talked to more people the first day at that church than I ever have at any other church, I think, in like the years combined being there.
Yeah.
And they really have a heart for God. They're really into community outreach and ministry. And I really like that because I never saw that growing up. And I think that would have made an impact growing up.
Yeah, for sure. I went to Bible college and at Bible college, they did evangelism, and it was so weird. The southern people you go with, you're like, this is weird, but it did have an impact, like, where you're right. Like, man, you have some guts, like, coming up to this big ripped dude who's covered in tattoos and his face says, like, F off, and you're like, what the heck? And this little skinny guy comes up to him from, like, Cambodia, and he's like, do you know the Lord? And he's like, what did you say? He goes, do you know the Lord? And I was like, oh, gosh. And he's like, he goes, no, I don't. And he's like, well, let me tell you about Jesus. And, like, he goes, and I was like, I love that guy. He was, like, the coolest guy
ever. That was amazing.
But he was not scared of anybody. And I'm like, I was like, I get, like, not being afraid and you're not supposed to. I get all that. But when I see a dude like that back in the day, I was like, like, that boy, that guy's going to rip my head off. Like, there ain't no way. And so he talked to him, and he led that guy to Jesus right then and there in a Walmart parking lot. And I was like, what the heck? And, like, I never saw anybody else do that except that one dude. And I was like, okay, like, this that's pretty awesome the way he did it. Like, I was like, I've never seen anybody do that. And I ended up with different groups, and I would talk to people, but, like, I take a different approach even on TikTok than most. Like, I'm not going to hammer you. I'm going to opposite and try to find a level playing field with you to see exactly. Where we can meet together and then go, okay, if we can kind of agree in this area, we can talk. Like, with Muslims, mm-hmm. If I can get them to lower the, like, what they're saying and be like, okay, can we agree that Jesus did die on the cross? And if we can't, then I don't think we can go any further. And, like, you get to the whole part where they're like, oh, I think God tricked everyone that it was Jesus and them all. Then there's issues in that. Like, then God's a liar and deceitful. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, well, that is a problem. And if they can't see that as an issue, then I'm like, well, I think we got to separate this way. And I, like you said, I'm not an arguer. I'm not going to debate you. Like, I love to actually debate people, but, like, in that I might ask more questions, but, and maybe be like, hey, this just seems off, but I'm not gonna, like, hammer away at you and be like, well, the genealogy of Muhammad is, and get into that stuff. Right. But it's one of those things that I think I don't know, like, everybody has their different parts in the body, and that's like, oh, you guys do that, like, that's fine, like, Steven and Kyle, like, you go, boys, like, you go,
oh, yeah,
fight them and do that good stuff. I'm like, if they get on and I'm on there, it's gonna be a different conversation, like, and I don't know, it's just interesting, because everybody has their place, but, like, I like to, when I am scrolling and all of a sudden I see you on, I'm like, oh, this is just going to be like a nice, like, Bible study. Like, won't be this crazy debate or this argument. And something I learned from a guy who is, like, a bigger TikTok name is he just ignores the comments. Like, if there's, like, people trolling or whatever, he never engages with them. I've never seen him once. And then me and somebody else he joined our live, and I was like, oh, man, like, this is cool. Like, you're actually on. And I didn't realize he had over 1 million people following him. I just was like, I know a lot of people know him, but, like, there's some people like, hey, I need to vet him and talk to him. I'm like, I was like, he's not going to talk to you. He even said that on our live. Like, I'm not here to debate nobody. I just want to talk about Jesus and really pray with you guys. And so he got on just to pray with us. And, like, he doesn't record his stuff, so it wasn't like, oh, this is a play to get more views or anything. And I think I appreciate that about, like, even yours. Like, I've never been like, there are some people you see and you're like, you're clout chasing. And then there's, like, authentic Christians who are like, I just love Jesus and want to talk about the Bible and go this route and really do that. And I really appreciate your page, because that's all it is. Hey, it's straightforward. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was my intent in making it when I first decided that I was going to start, you know, wearing that, like, that Christian badge on TikTok and, like, switch over to that. I was like, this is not for me. And I told God, I was like, I don't care if you give me one person or, like, 3,000 people. I want it to always be you-centered, and I don't want to you know, have that temptation of it being me-centered or chasing clout or anything that could lead anybody astray.
Yeah.
So I'm very much into, like, I don't like to debate. I used to debate all the time. My old me, like, I love debating. I was horrible for, like, debating anybody and everybody, family dinners, Facebook. It was bad. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm not into that anymore. Thank goodness. yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:17 right there.
Yep, for sure. So, and like, I think my kryptonite, I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of kryptonite with that sometimes. And it's usually Torah keepers that, like, start to irk that back out of me where I'm like, oh, there's so many things wrong with what you're saying. Like, no, keep it in. Keep it in. Don't argue.
Mine has gotten to the point, it's really, and it's more of, like, from a sense of, like, protecting, I feel like, where if I see something that could lead, like, a baby Christian, because I have a few people right now that I have the pleasure of discipling.
Yeah.
And so I know where they are and how new they are and fragile they are in their walk with Christ.
Yeah.
And I see something that I know could, like, unhinge some of that or really be a stumbling block, and that makes me very upset. So I will potentially argue, but I'm more than likely I'm just going to scroll because it's not worth my time and it's not worth my stress.
No, I get you, because you definitely see that. I don't know if you know who Carolyn the Christian is. Like, she's
one
that's always like, I'm a baby Christian. And so we actually did a revival with her and a bunch of other Christian TikTokers. We all went to Arkansas and did a little revival. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and so I didn't know you then, or else we would have invited you.
Oh, you're fine. I'm not offended either way.
And so, like, we invited a good amount of people, and then, like 15 of us showed up. But what's crazy is you see how God works and how when you have the same Holy Spirit that all of you just click. Like, we're all from different denominations, like Baptists, Methodist, Word of Faith, like, all those, like, were there, but nobody was, everybody, like, Caleb and me and Ray were, Caleb and Ray kind of ran the whole thing, but I was kind of the mouthpiece, and so I tell people, we're not talking about doctrine, we're just talking straight gospel. So, that's all we're coming to, we're telling our testimonies, and then the gospel, period. Like, we're not getting into anything else. Like, if you're a Calvinist that is here, we're not getting into that. So it was really cool because everybody showed up and it was like family. It was the craziest thing I've ever felt. And I was like, it just, you know, when God's in it, where you're like, man, this just felt right. Like, everything lined up, people showed up, their testimonies reached people and all that. And you're like, this is crazy. Is your dog doing something crazy over there?
He's just like pacing and I'm like, what is going on with you? I'm just making sure he's not. Sometimes people, like, walk through the hallways and he thinks we're in our house, so he gets, like, really protective of, like, you can't do that. This is not your house.
Makes sense. And so, yeah, I mean, like, that's, I always want to encourage people, like, if you have an opportunity to meet with people and you're feeling God lead you to do it, like, and it's right, then follow that and just meet them, because I'm like, it's so cool, like, getting to meet Christian TikTokers who are authentic. Like, I don't think any, like, I met Buck Rogers in person. All of a sudden, I was like, man, you're taller than you look. Like, that's the first thing I told him. I was like, I didn't think you were that tall. He's wearing, like, cowboy boots, and I think we're the same height without cowboy boots. And I was like, bro, you're huge. And so, but, like, I met a bunch of people, like Pastor Witt and all that in person in Trenton, which is Pointless Thorns. And, like, you just felt like, I don't know. And I feel like that in the community where, like, when I even do this podcast, like, this is a simple conversation that, like, I don't feel like I'm like, oh, I'm struggling to say something with you. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I think it's because God, when God leads us to things, he just makes it good. Like it says, like, anything that is meant for evil or to come against you, God will make for good. And people forget that, like, in your darkest of nights, your worst day, remember God is still God and he will make things work out. And, like, I'm not preaching, like, a prosperity gospel, so don't get on me, people. I'm preaching what God does, and it's literally he shows up. Like, I have never not had God show up, like, in my worst days. Like, I mean, I was a police officer. I don't know if you knew that, for about 5 years.
I did not know that, actually.
And we actually had one of the guys that we knew got shot and killed. And it was a tough day. And I'm like, but God, you're still God. Like, you still showed up. And, like, even my partner that I had, his parents both died recently, like, in a crazy hot air balloon accident. Like, they hit the wire, fell out of the basket. It's bad. And, like, I just told him he's a Catholic, but I was like, hey, man, you can run to alcohol. You run to your girlfriend. You run to this. But I'm going to tell you one thing that will be there for you, man, is God. And I was like, I'll be here for you too, but like, God will be there more than anybody else can. And that sadness you're feeling, give it to him, like, and keep giving it to him, because like, I don't know how you feel about this, but every day we have to choose God, like, to be like, hey, I have to choose to follow you or do what you're telling me,
yeah,
or follow what is right, not just be a butthole. Because I mean, we all mess up and screw up where we're like, how dare you? Like, even you probably like can get mad at your dog and be like, why was I getting mad at that? That was dumb.
No, we have to like preach the gospel to ourselves every day, and we have to choose God. And I look at it as, if you can choose God in like the little moments and the very small things, it's going to be easier to choose him in the big things when the big trials come.
Yeah.
So like, make practice out of it.
Yeah, for sure. And it like, so like with what the job we did, we were teaching kids life skills, and actually lived with 10 teenage girls. We've been a year removed from that as supervisors, me and my wife, but we lived with 10 teenage girls for 4 years. And,
oh, wow.
And it was nuts. Like, we have our own kids, but then also 10 teenage girls that,
and about intense.
Yeah, like 40 plus girls went through our house over the 4 years. And you really like what we did is like the family teaching model. So you're literally helping them rewire their mind that, hey, you can do good. Like, you can screw up and do things. But what was cool is we weren't allowed to talk about Jesus unless it's brought up. So, like, because we have a lot of California schools and Illinois schools who sent these kids to us, and we're like, okay, well, if they bring it up to our directors, who are both the only Christians on our whole campus, those two, and then us, that was it. Nobody else, everybody else was either nothing or Mormon. That was kind of the two options. And so they were like, okay, so if they bring it up, you can totally talk about it. And there are girls that we had from day one that still call us and go like, hey, I have a question about God. And so it's really cool, because like, a lot of them got saved and asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. The first group, it was all 10 of them. The next group is like 8 or so, and then so on and so forth. And so it's just really cool. But like, thinking of what you're saying is, we had to start small. Like, hey, if you can do the right thing when it's small, if you do this a bunch of times, when it's a big thing, you'll go back to that. And that is what we need to do with our faith. Like, hey, God, I believed you for $5. Like, I needed gas and or a food today, and you showed up and somebody gave me $5. And like, hey, I'm going to believe that you're going to give, like, help me and guide me to my next job, like what I need to do, because I feel like you're pulling me from this one. And then God shows up, and like, some random person's like, hey, I'm looking for somebody, I'll hire you and I'll pay you this. And you're like, that's double what I was getting paid. And like, I mean, that's literally happened with some of my friends and stuff. And I mean, even as a kid, like, I know it sounds dumb, but I was like, hey, God, I really want this video game, and blah, 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 and prayed as a kid. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not preaching like, oh, God's a genie.
No, but still, God still gives us things we want sometimes and blesses us.
Yeah, and so,
no matter how tiny.
Yeah, so $40 comes flying and hits me in the ankle. Like, when I was walking to my friend's house, I'm like, what the heck? I pick up the $40. I'm like, are you kidding me? Look at God. Yeah, it's so cool. And like, run to my friend's house. I go, I got the money to get the game. And so like, and that was like a little thing, but I'm like, God will show up. Like, and even if you feel like God missed it, he didn't. Like, there's a lot of times where people are like, so-and-so, like, I had this family member who died. And I'm like, you don't know where they'd be. Like, one of the biggest ones that I remember growing up is my grandma was like everything to me because I grew up with her more than anything. I'd go there every day after school. And like, not that my parents weren't around, but that's where I went. And she's right. Basically like an evangelist, talking to people about Jesus, all this stuff. But the craziest thing I remember is I would see her reading her Bible from like 9 o'clock at night. And I could wake up in the middle of the night, go there at 3 in the morning, and she's reading her Bible still. And like, go back at 5 in the morning, she's still reading her Bible. Her Bible's like highlighted galore. I'm like, highlighters probably like, if they had a poster child, she would have been it. And so, like, so she like was a huge example to me. And I just remember like she passed away from like a dumb back surgery. Like, not even anything, like, you're like, it wasn't even anything, like, she fought and, like, died from something. It was a back surgery that the doctors messed up on, but, like, they messed up real bad where she got gangrene on her heart and all this stuff, and so she passed away, and I remember, I don't know who it was, it could have been a pastor that came and talked to my mom. Because I like paid attention to like all this stuff as a kid. I don't know why, but he was like, you know, sometimes I think God gives people an opportunity. Like if she saw heaven, then she's not turning back. because she woke up, basically gave us all hugs, kisses, loved on us, and then laid back down, and then like basically passed away, and like my mom was like, no, you can't leave, like super upset. And that pastor goes, I just think that sometimes God gives you an option. Like, hey, like you can live your life and maybe be stuck in a wheelchair now forever. And you can live that life or you could come home and just be made whole. And like, I was like, that's actually not, I don't think that's unbiblical in any way. I'm like, I don't know how you'd get around that one. You know, I don't know.
there's nothing against it. And like, you know, God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. So yeah. Who knows?
And so he just mentioned it. He goes, this isn't theology. This isn't like, oh, I know this happened. He's like, I'm just saying like,
it's an
idea. You never know like what it could have been. And he goes, I'm not saying any of that was going to happen. Just saying you don't know. And I mean, from that experience, we did the whole funeral and I have an older brother and two cousins and all of us spoke and I was the last one to go. And, I just remember writing down how much I love my grandma on this paper and all this stuff. And then I was like, but if you want to know where she went to heaven. And if you want to know how to get there, please ask. And we'll tell you the only way is through Jesus. And that's what I wrote on this paper. And, there was 3,000 people there, mind you. And I'm a little like 10-year-old giving this, talking about this, just bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, but if you don't know Jesus, that's who you need to know. That's the only way to heaven. And like, I didn't realize anything God was doing in that moment, like the impact it had. I just said it. And then I like walked away with my cousins off the stage and people came afterwards to the altar and were like, they're like, you know what? I hated God, but I see that little boy and how much God impacted him. And that changed my life instantly because he knows something I thought I knew better. And if he's got that kind of love for God that I didn't know, I need to know that God. And like people are coming afterwards, like just like talking to me and I didn't understand why, but now I do. They're like, hey, thank you so much for what you said. And I was like, I don't know what I said. Like, nice to meet you. Like that terrible line you have to do in a funeral where you're shaking people's hands, which I still don't get. Like, hey, let me shake your hand about it. But like the impact you can leave, and I don't know why I got on this tangent, but like, I just know that those little things that you see in life, and like you saying, hey, I want to be a good parent, that they see who Jesus is through me and your husband, it really does impact you. Because I mean, I'm living proof of somebody that wasn't even like my direct parent, is my grandparent, who just read the Bible, and I saw what that did, and I saw like who God was through the way she lived. And like, did she get mad? Yeah. Did she get upset and angry? Sure. Like all of us do. And she still sinned. But I think the closer you get to God, the more you're showing people who God is. And the more you're closer to God, sometimes it just is the way you act that can change somebody else's outlook. And they go, what do you know, Sam? What do you know that I don't know? You seem happy all the time. That's weird. And you're like, well, it's Jesus, man. And they're like,
yeah,
what?
I am the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but yeah.
No, that is an amazing story. And yeah, that just goes to show like the way you live actually does make a difference. You can't just wear a label and expect people to know or see something different because you have a label. I can smack a label on Oreos that says Jesus, and they're still not Jesus.
Yeah, for sure. And so, like, what, I guess, for you, I know this is a little bit off topic, but what do you think about, like, women ministering, I guess? Or, like, I'm not saying, like, I don't know if you feel like, oh, they could be a head pastor or not. I'm not going to say what I agree with or not, because you can actually listen back and see what I agree on, but I'll tell you after you answer.
Yeah, you're good. I actually, I get that a lot on my lives, and it's usually angry men saying, you know, they're quoting 2 Timothy out of context.
Yeah.
You can't be on here preaching. And I'm like, I'm actually teaching a Bible study, not teaching church, but you know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, God has made men and women each individually unique. We have our strengths and weaknesses, and we have our own roles. I do believe man should be head of the house, just as man should be head of the church. But I don't think that excludes women from ministry. I just don't think they should be head of a church, because that's the place scripture. So that's where I stand with that.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, like, what's funny is those guys that say that, I don't know who's. There was a Christian TikToker who said, like, something kind of smart alecky to it, but it made a lot of sense. I think she was like, hey, when the men step up and start doing that, then they can tell me that, or something like that. And I was like, oh. Crap. But, like, in general, I'm like, everybody is supposed to preach the gospel and spread the good news and all that stuff. And I'm all, so when people come against like women or girls that are doing it, I'm like, they're doing more than you're doing. You're just butthurt because they actually have a platform that they're actually able to speak to people. And I feel like often you don't see it through people who really like are Christians, like authentic ones. Like you're like, yeah, please go and tell them about that. I mean, there's even times where I'll use other Christian women TikTokers. I'm like, hey, this girl over here is struggling, and I don't think it's my place to talk to her. So I'll connect you two, and you two go ahead and talk about this, because I don't think that's my place. But, like, often I just see people hating on people when you're like, and I think that's what unsaved people or atheists see is people, Christians hating on other Christians and go, well, like, why do I want to do that? But it's always a good reminder to tell them, like, hey, we're still messed up too. Like, we still have issues.
Yeah, we're all sinners.
Yeah. And often, like, there are people that are not, that quote unquote say they're Christians, and you're like, no bit of you seems like you're a Christian at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I recently took over a Christian veterinary club, and it's had a rough start. There was a lot of persecution and stuff before, from what I'm hearing. So I'm kind of getting, like, the shambles to put back together.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, somebody new will show up, and I'm, like, super excited about it. And she's like, oh, no, they've been going here for a while. I'm like, they're a Christian. I had no idea. Like, I would have never guessed. But, you know, I'm glad they're putting forth the effort, and I hope they see other people living it out so they can get encouraged to do the same.
Yeah. You're like, I was getting ready to talk to them and tell them how to get saved.
I'm like, I'm really glad we didn't go down the route of the gospel talk, because that would have been slightly awkward.
You're like, hey, if we're about to go down Romans Road, I know you don't know that. Come over here. They're like, I'm a Christian. You're like, well, just kidding.
Well, let me tell you what. Let's talk about James, okay?
You know your tongue. You're like, I heard it. But yeah, definitely think that it's super important that everybody, like I said, everybody has their place in the body. But if anybody that's listening to this podcast when it is released, please go find Sam I Am and on TikTok, and we'll put a link on the description of this. She does good things and preaches the gospel, and her Bible studies are awesome, and she does movies sometimes. We won't say every week, but sometimes, because that is tiring. Yeah, wait a minute. Did you see Heartflip?
Every other week. I haven't yet. I have it in my to-watch list.
Just kidding. I was like, I wanted to know, because I was like, what did you think? Oh, man.
I thought you were going to try and do a movie night with it.
I will, but I didn't know if you were going to watch it, so yeah.
Okay, because I was kind of waiting for that, because then it's like I watch it and then I'll come watch it again, which I'm fine with.
They keep ripping me off on TikTok. I've put that clip on like 13 different ways, and it still is like music violation. I'm like, it's red. You have this song on this stupid app. Like, it's on there. Cause it's like,
that's so weird.
I don't know. It drives me nuts. I'm all, do I need to like underline the song under there again, just so it doesn't hear it? I don't know.
I don't know. They're picky sometimes.
I think that might be the goal. Like, I'm gonna put it on there, but shut off the volume so it seems like the song's playing, and they're like, oh, there you go.
Yeah, you could try that. That might actually work.
I don't know. I'll try it. But yeah, I think. Do you have anything else to say?
No. I mean, I'm the type of person I can talk all night. Like, I love going up and talking to random strangers and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
So, if there's anything else you want to know, I'm down for it, but I don't have anything to, like, add to that.
Oh, okay. No, I just didn't know. I was like, is there something you really wanted to say? No, I think this is actually a good spot to probably stop the podcast, but something I didn't tell you, and I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcasts all the way through, but we always ask our guests to pray us out of the podcast.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Dear God, I just thank you for today and this opportunity to share how good you are and he is with us. I thank you for the ministry that he's doing and the work that everybody else is doing on TikTok and the platform that you've given us, that we can use it in an honorable way for you and for the good of love you and bring others into the kingdom. I thank you for everything you've done for us so far, and we pray that you continue to bless everybody as long as they stay with you.
Amen.